God, this thing's so finicky, but it's also free. So it is what it is. Three, two.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation.
It's amazing to see how far this thing has grown, and it's exciting to see your studio and be in here and see how this has come along as well.
Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I appreciate how you cover NDSU football and everything you guys do.
I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to.
I really appreciate you guys. You know, Ross, Zach, now Bison Report for what you guys do for Bison football.
The host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, and back in the studio, back at it again, is my guy, Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Staying warm. It's finally starting to snow again, feeling like North Dakota, so it's good to be in this cozy BR studio.
It is going to be a little bit chilly, and it's going to be a little bit chilly on Saturday. That's something I'm going to ask you about, something we'll talk about a little bit, but yeah, it seems like fall was about 3 days long.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, you know, I try to soak up fall as much as I can because we don't get it.
Sure.
Like, the leaves start to change colors, and it looks pretty, and now everything is dead and dying, and it's snowing, and
right.
It's sad.
But even, like, fall, it's 70 degrees.
Right.
When I don't remember the 53-degree crisp day.
We had, like, yeah, like you said, like three of them.
Exactly.
And none of them were on Saturday.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get into the news. This is not like new news, but if people are big-time Bison fans, maybe don't pay a ton of attention to pro ball.
Yeah.
The Vikings have placed Ben Ellefson on injured reserve. He is not necessarily done for the season because the league is still using the COVID-19 rules, meaning that he could theoretically come back, sometime after 3 weeks, I think, is the minimum.
Okay.
But he could potentially.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about the IR rules, if that meant he was done or what.
But. No, they're using the COVID IR rules, which basically means it's a minimum of 3 weeks, which you don't count against the roster. Okay, folks, real quick reminder, the football game is at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Excuse me?
11 a.m., also not on WDAY.
Excuse me?
It's going to be on ESPN Plus, so get ready for football early and get ready to fight with ESPN Plus.
We can all just rejoice that it's not on Flow Sports, at least.
It is not. It is not on Flow Sports. It is on ESPN Plus. And your basketball viewing schedule is as follows. Basketball Friday, 4 p.m. Folks.
That's huge.
Yeah, a little happy hour for the people on Friday. Maybe you take off at noon, you use the weather as an excuse, make yourself a little cocktail, whatever, have another little Friday afternoon leading into Friday evening. But weather looks like it's going to be mostly awful tomorrow. So that 4 p.m. Bison game could be real, real nice.
I'm telling you, there is nothing better than ditching out of work early on a Friday and just going to belly up or sit on your couch and do nothing for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I would belly up. Just I have concerns about being able to get places.
Here's the thing. If I'm stuck in Chubb's Pub for 72 hours, I'm cool with that.
That's fair. but yeah, that game's going to be on ESPN Plus. Monday at UNLV is going to be a night game. That is TBD on the TV side of things. And then Tuesday at Arizona on the Pac-12 network, that'll be the premier game of this non-conference schedules at the Wildcats there.
Yeah, pretty exciting. We get to see some, you know, I just think of it in football aspects. These would be FBS schools if we looked at it that way. Yep. They're, obviously Arizona is high major.
Yeah.
And then UNLV more of a
high major, high prestige. I mean, right. They have national championships.
Yeah, exciting teams that we get to see them play.
All right. We had a fan on Twitter ask us to talk about seeding, and we never really dealt with it, I guess. I think we dealt with or we spoke about the top 25, but we didn't actually talk about the seeding conversation. And so I want to have that with you a little bit. We said we'd talk about it, so let's talk about it, and I want to kind of get into it. I think it's pretty clear to me that Sam Houston State's not going to lose. And on a neutral field, though, I think they're the best team in the country. I don't. But here's the thing, folks. When you win the national championship and you return most of your players and then you come back, and even through a cupcake schedule, you don't lose, you're going to be the one seed.
Yeah, there's nothing that you can – like, they did their job. They did what was in front of them, so you can't knock them for that.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
This was a talking point brought up by our man Dave Richard, so I wanted to give him his shouts for asking us a question.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. We just wanted to have kind of the seeding conversation. And what I said and what I'll stick behind is ultimately, golly, Sam, we got to get you a collared shirt.
Buddy.
Mercy Jesus on ESPN Plus and a Henley. What are we doing? Sam Herder mentioned, or we mentioned, and I'm bringing up something else eventually here if I can find it, that Sam said about resumes, because he actually did kind of put everybody's resume of who they've beaten kind of out there as far as quality wins, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, here it is. We've got it now.
Sam does really, really great work, too. I just wanted to...
Sam's awesome.
Yeah. And the breakdown of FCS football, like, he does, like, is pretty incredible.
And I'll tell you why I'm so impressed with him, and this is going to be a Sam love fest, but, like...
What's up, Sam?
He could be me, and right. He's not. Like, he has, being a North Dakota State grad and the crap that he takes on Twitter for being an NDSU grad and supposedly a Bison homer, like, he could do what I do, which is pay attention to North Dakota State, the people that play North Dakota State, and potential threats to North Dakota State as a national champion. That's it.
He does a great job of being impartial to NDSU.
And not only that, but he's deep in it.
Yeah.
We talked about, like, we haven't seen Southeast Louisiana play.
Right.
Sam has seen him four times.
Yeah. and we talk about getting yelled at.
Yeah.
That dude gets yelled at because he's in, like you said, every niche market. Corner
People
of,
care.
Of FCS football.
Absolutely. All right. Well, anyway, shout out, Sam. So what I was saying is I don't think, and keep in mind, folks, tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe 5 of the 8 national champions at North Dakota State were not undefeated.
That sounds correct, just off the top of my head.
13, 18, 19.
I was going to say 18, and I was on those teams. We were undefeated. And then 13.
Not even a humble break.
Flex.
Just a regular break.
No, I rode the backs of some pretty good football players to get those rings. So,
but 17, not undefeated.
No, lost in Brookings. SDSU.
16, didn't win. 15, didn't go undefeated.
Was that? Yeah.
That was the Carson year. They lost twice. They lost in Montana, and lost USD. When Carson got hurt. Yeah. 14, not undefeated.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the loss was, but I know it was.
We lost to Indiana State somewhere in there.
Yeah, that was like 11 or 12.
Okay.
And 11, they lost a game.
Yeah.
13, they didn't, but 14 was the Carson Wentz rookie year, if you will. His first year as the starter, and they did not go undefeated. I don't remember who they lost to. I'm just telling you they did not go undefeated.
So 3 of 8 were
undefeated. 3 of 8 were undefeated. So five of the 8 Bison teams have been a one-loss team at best, because, shoot, the team that won the title, Carson senior year, was a 2-loss team.
Right.
I can't remember where they were seated. I do remember that they did not play a road playoff game.
Yep, those were all home.
I'd be interested to see the bracket if something happened where they didn't have to go on the road, or if they literally, as a 2-loss team, were seeded number 1 or number 2. I'd have to go back and look at that bracket. Maybe that's something that we'll do later on. But
that'd be a deep dive that Sam does.
Yeah, exactly. All of this blubbering to say, they historically, if they win the Valley and only have one loss, do not go on the road for playoff games.
Yeah.
Now, that's
and go back to the spring. We 2-loss Valley team, we went on the road.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't see how we aren't in the top four at the end of the year.
So at this point, and the South Dakota State over North Dakota State thing is stupid. I can't believe people did it. And
yeah, you and I are different, looking at different polls.
Right. But this is the Stats Perform top 25. The FCS coaches poll, I'm pulling up now.
Coaches.
Coaches poll has NDSU sixth after Kennesaw. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I would lay 21 points to Kennesaw.
I'd lay 21 from 3 to 5.
Anywhere. So basically, you got one lost teams. Kennesaw, I can't believe they put Kennesaw Davis and Montana State in front of NDSU. Anyway, you look like you have a lot to climb in the coaches poll. I don't know if the coaches poll has, you know, a closer correlation to the playoff committee than the stats poll. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is they're going to jump South Dakota State because they're going to get the AQ from the
right.
So that's not a concern. What is a concern is jumping potentially James Madison, Montana State. I don't think they need to really worry about UC Davis either, but they need to jump either JMU or Montana State to get one of those top two seeds, in theory, if the playoff committee even sees it that way,
right,
which they may not. A quick look at Montana State's schedule. I'm guessing...
Big one this weekend, correct?
Like I said, I got to take a quick look. Montana State this weekend has...
I think they have the Grizz.
No, they've got Idaho... And then they've got the Grizz.
Okay.
And Idaho, which is an FBS drop down, people keep that in mind, is not good. They are 3-6.
They stink out loud.
They bad.
Played UC Davis up top there.
Yeah, lost 20-27, so they were at least in the game.
They both stink.
But I think it's certainly reasonable. Oh, it's at Montana. Yo, Montana State could lose.
That's what I'm saying.
At Wagriz.
I think that's the one that I think we'll drop out.
Interesting. Okay. Has JMU played Bill and Mary yet?
I think so.
Okay, because that was...
Just off the top of my head.
They play such a trash schedule.
Yeah.
Plus, make them ineligible. They're moving up.
Stop it. I yelled at people for this. No. Half of Bison Report Radio does not condone this.
Okay. James Madison has not played Bill and Mary. Bill and Mary is on Saturday.
And they love playing spoil. They're the Purdue of the FCS.
But hey, man, this is the Towson stinks, and it's at home. 100%. They're going to win. They already have the playoff schedule on there. I mean, they're making the playoffs, so good for them, but that is funny.
I think, you know, just gut opinion here. I mean, they're winning out too, JMU.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could lose at Bill and Mary. I think that could happen.
1,000%.
But, man, I look at this, and I just objectively, this is just not an impressive resume. Their best win is at Weber State when they were number 9. Is Weber even still good?
No.
Let's take a quick look here. Weber's 4-5. That's a trash win.
No, yeah.
I don't understand if you're building a case.
And they lost to Nova.
Right. So what win are you putting up on the...
It's precedent. It's the fact that they're JMU.
Okay, but like if you're banging the table for JMU, what win are you putting up there?
Right.
At number 23, Delaware? At number 25, New Hampshire? Where's New Hampshire now? Unranked.
Yikes.
Are they even receiving votes? I'm not seeing New Hampshire. Let's take a look at the record. 3-6. Boy, this James Madison schedule is really easy to pick apart, and I can't believe they're number 2 in the country. I'm going to get over it here, but oh my paper tiger.
Yeah.
Trash.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a signature win. Period.
No.
Period.
Yeah. I mean, they, yeah.
What, at Richmond?
They sink too.
I'm getting riled up.
Are we going to yell?
I'm going to yell at Richmond for the way they're yelling.
That's a horrible website.
Yell at Richmond for the way they designed their website. There we go.
It's because they're an Adidas school. That's why.
4 and 5. Ugh. Trash. All trash. James Madison, your resume is trash. Keeping piles of trash.
And what gets them that 2 ranking?
Because their loss was a long time ago. People are
goldfish brains.
They're absolutely 100%. I mean, that's, hey, if I'm Craig Haley and I'm ranking South Dakota State in front of North Dakota State, that's goldfish brain stuff.
1,000%.
That's what did I just see? Bonk.
Yeah.
Not what is the resume of this football team? So right. Getting all the way back to the Sam Herder conversation. Wins against ranked teams at the time of the game. Kennesaw, Montana, which was an FBS win, and they're, I mean, kind of riding that. It's a UW win.
Yeah.
Eastern, UC Davis, South Dakota State, and Sam Houston State have 1 win against teams ranked at the time of the game. Montana State has 2. Nova, NDSU, and JMU have 3. Now, on November 8th, when he tweeted this, wins against teams that are currently ranked, which means look at how good the teams ended up. How good are they now?
Yeah.
0 wins against teams currently ranked. Kennesaw State, Montana, UC Davis, JMU, and Sam Houston State. Cupcake City.
Yeah.
1 win against teams currently ranked. Nova, Eastern, South Dakota State, Montana State. The only team with multiple ranked wins this year?
Still ranked.
Yeah, the only team with 2 current top 25 team wins in the country. Who's that?
The North Dakota State Bison.
Interesting. So you're going to tell me that the only team in the country right now with multiple wins against teams currently ranked are going to be a 1-loss team with an outright championship of, bar none, the best conference in the country, and you're gonna make them go on the road?
Not only that, it's not like we played the slouches of the Valley. One, the Valley's tough, and we have multiple top 25 wins. So if we went out and we win the Valley, we're playing at home. All logic would point towards that, but like I've told you before, when it comes to this stuff, think about what makes sense and understand that the opposite is probably going to happen.
Excuse me?
I got nothing.
We're yelling.
I got nothing for you. Oh, man. All right. You.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Little big deck time. No home game, but this weekend. We'll be out there next weekend. Nice and cold. I know the diehards will be out there. It actually will just be my father and whoever else goes out with him, because Big Deck Barbecue will be at the Shields Arena doing the Pride of Dakota show. So if you're in town, want to stay warm after the game, we'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come say what's up. We'll have our own booth, have all of our products, but good spot to come see everybody. And, you know, it's our first Pride of Dakota show. So, you know, not only us, but there's a lot of other great vendors. Come say what's up and come get some Big Deck.
Absolutely, and we've got a phenomenal Big Deck tailgate show, a controversial ending to the competition.
Actually, not controversial at all. Pretty cut and dry. I won.
Check out the barbecue chicken pizza that we made from anti-scratch. I'm going to call that the opposite of scratch.
It was like some real bachelor cooking yesterday. It was
some very, very much bachelor cooking. I really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun, and it tasted awesome. So check it out. It will be coming up on Friday, which is, so this is when you're getting it on Friday. You're getting this show on Friday. So in a couple hours, you'll be hit with Big Deck Barbecue for sure, with the Big Deck tailgate show. And I hope you'll enjoy that one, because I enjoyed doing it. All right, folks, a little treat for you. We ended up shooting a lot of videos this week, and instead of just spamming Bison Report with a bunch of videos, this one went long because is a young man who was very well spoken and had a lot to say and had a lot of interesting stuff to say. So I converted the Logan Kopp video to an interview, and we're going to play our, this is a guy, by the way, that Matt Entz called out by name in the Monday press conference as someone he was really excited about and somebody that played well in his first of his four, because a true freshman, first of his four games against Indiana State. I'm impressed with the young man. I think, you know, your post James Kaiser, post Wiz, though, they might end up having to figure out how to play those guys together just because Wiz is technically a freshman. Logan Kopp's an interesting player.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him run out to play as a freshman. It's pretty impressive. And Scout Team Player of the Week, I think I saw on their Twitter. I mean, kid's doing well. And if you get a shout out on the Monday press conference, it means you're doing something right.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's Tutsi vibes.
Yeah.
Like when, and Hanky vibes.
Jabril.
Right. When, yeah. When Kleiman would always wax poetic about what Tut was doing on special or on scout.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That means maybe year two, you're a dog, or year three, you're getting some love.
Yeah. Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
All right. Let's get into the Logan Kopp interview right now.
Bison freshman linebacker Logan Kopp, and just wanted to kind of, because of class schedules and stuff, we haven't been able to talk to you freshmen a ton. You guys go out on Wednesdays, you were usually doing stuff on Tuesday. Have you talked to anybody from the class kind of before you that got to have that free run in the spring and play as much as you want, play as little as you want, whatever, but you guys are back normal. You're the 4-game rule. You're in kind of, I would assume, like the Kramer diet, the Kramer, all of that stuff. Have you talked to them about kind of the differences in what's going on for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, for example, Cole Wisniewski in the spring, he was a freshman last year, and since that COVID year, he played, I think, every single game in the spring, didn't have to use up a year of eligibility, so that was huge for him. And, you know, now we're back into the swing of things with our class, with the 4-game rule. I know a few of us are taking advantage of those 4 games. And then, yeah, with Kramer, we're all on that developmental lift to gain some weight, gain some muscle, get prepared for the next few seasons here.
So when you are called into action, when you do play, and you're doing kind of the Kramer developmental stuff, what are the main differences and what makes it different, I guess, from the week in, week out stuff that the, you know, Phoenix or I don't care, whoever, but, right. You know, Jackson, doesn't matter.
So for us freshmen, we're lifting 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're going pretty hard. We're squatting, we're cleaning, pretty heavy weight compared to, you know, the older guys. They're in a different program where they lift usually only 2 to 3 days a week, lighter loads, less reps, less sets. You know, with us, it's heavy weight, heavy reps, heavy sets. So that's a big difference. Just take care of their bodies more.
So is there ever any time where, like, the coaches tell you guys or tell the strength staff, hey, we are going to use this guy on Saturday, maybe Thursday and Friday we don't go super nuts? Or is it just like, hey, you're young, you'll figure it out?
So for me and for Cole Payton, we, on Thursdays and Fridays, typically before a game, if we think we might get in, Coach Kramer will lighten the load on us a little bit. I mean, not too much, but just to make sure our bodies are feeling good. For example, for Cole, he takes it easy on shoulder exercises just to make sure his arm's nice and ready to go for Saturdays. But besides that, I mean, we're still with the 4-day lifting, and not much is different for us.
After Indiana State, Coach Ants called you out by name in his press conference on Monday as someone he was impressed with, someone who was flying around. I don't even know if you paid attention to that or knew that happened or anything like that, but what's it say? You know, how validating is that for the effort that you're putting forward, that the head coach, linebackers coach that he may be, is paying attention to you?
Right. I mean, it's awesome to get recognized by him, but at the same time, I know that I got a lot to work on. In the quarter I played, you know, a lot of mistakes. It was fun to finally get out there and fly around, but also I still have a lot to work on as far as the scheme and the playbook and the defense. And Coach Olson knows that. Coach Hens knows that. I know that. All the other linebackers know that. And all the other linebackers are doing a great job of taking me under their wing and just teaching me everything that there is to know about being a linebacker.
Are you primarily at will?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned the older guys. Obviously, Cole is not that much older than you. Yeah. But what are you taking from, obviously a James Kaiser that's been there for a while, Jackson Hankey that's been there, I think, since you were in grade school. But in general, like, there are guys that, and even honestly, 2 guys in Luke Wirtz and Dylan Hendricks that aren't available, but their minds are, you know. So What is that linebacker room doing for you young kids to kind of get you up to speed?
Right. I mean, I'm absorbing as much information as I can from them. I mean, all those other guys, like you mentioned, Jackson, Mason, James, Jasir, literally everyone is with me every day, walking me through. When I go off the field, they're telling me, hey, good job on this, need to work on this. In the meetings, they're helping me with my notes, helping me with everything. They're huge help. As big as help as Coach Olson is, I mean, they care about this program. They care about the future after they're gone. And it's awesome to have that great group of guys to really be helping me out.
What have they told you about kind of your path moving forward? Are there specific games that they're targeting you for after maybe, you know, once you get past that first round of the playoffs, then, well, there can only be three games right. left. So, I mean, what do you, have they told you anything about their plan for you?
Not specifically. Coach Jens has mentioned he wants to use up my four games. And so I've only used that one against Indiana State. So, I mean, really it just all comes down to their decision, what they want to do with me. Either way, I'm good. I'd love to use my four games, but if not, I'm still learning everything I can from the sideline and practicing in meetings, and I'm ready to go whenever they call my name.
I think where Cole really made, you know, and obviously he's making a tremendous amount of plays on defense now, but where he really made his bones last spring was on special teams. How much is special teams part of being a young linebacker, and then how much do you kind of take from that, put it on film, and okay, this is what I'm doing to prove that I can play defense?
Yeah, special teams is huge. Coach Gazer, one of the best special teams coordinators, I think, in the country. He knows the stuff, and all the staff takes huge pride in special teams. And I've talked to guys like with Luke Wirtz. He talked about his freshman year, just getting a couple reps on kickoff to show that he can fly around, make a tackle. That worked his way up, and it turned into getting in on the defense, getting reps on defense. So it really, for everybody, it starts on special teams, you know, that first 1 or 2 years, getting those reps on kickoff, on punt, showing that you can be physical, fly around, make a tackle, and then eventually you work your way up to being a big part of the defense.
Last one, it's just because we've kind of asked everyone, I guess, that I've talked to this week and gotten very different perspectives, because we talked to Phoenix, and we talked to Nash, and we talked to Dawson, guys that have been here forever. Ask Cole, and I ask you, from a young player's perspective, and I'm not 100% familiar with your high school experience. I think you guys won a lot of games, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, losing's not a habit that you have. What did you kind of get out of watching the way that the staff, older players, dealt with this South Dakota State loss, flushed it, and are moving on?
I mean, after the game in the locker room, it was pretty obvious. No coach had to get on us, tell us that we didn't play a good game, that we are better than that, we're better than, you know, South Dakota State. It was just kind of a known thing. It was quiet in the locker room. No one was celebrating. No one was having a good time. Everybody was ticked off, you know, that we just didn't give it our all. And I think we're going to take that, a little chip on our shoulder, a little humbling game for us, and that's going to fuel us for the rest of the season, because more than likely we're going to meet South Dakota State again in the playoffs, and I think second time around we're going to be ready for them.
How about specifically, has any mention been made of the fact that Southern Illinois lost? And with that happening, that's still a one-game lead in the conference, and so your goals are still clearly ahead of you.
Yeah, that was a known thing. Coach Entz mentioned it on Monday. He said, hey, we lost, but, you know, we're still ahead of the conference. And if we can win out our last two games, really this game this week against Youngstown will clinch at least a share of the Valley. And then, you know, if we win out against South Dakota, it would be outright. And so that's what we're thinking about this week, is conference championship, because we didn't get that in the spring. And so, I mean, for these guys like Cole, like these second-year guys, they haven't experienced a conference championship, and obviously us true freshmen haven't. And so that's what we're pushing for this week, is that conference championship. Week after that, outright conference championship, and then, you know, playoffs.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Youngstown State, talk to me about it, Zach. I want to hear your best Youngstown story.
All right, so I slammed my head into a bunch of people for a long time, so you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't remember their names, but just off the top of my head, I don't have anything that from games that is a true memory, but I obviously remember Mr. Pelini's freak out, which is always good to pull up on YouTube once in a while. I think Fargo Media, the rest of the guys, put that out this week because it's just objectively hilarious to listen to him get mad.
Yeah.
let's see. I remember, I think it was my freshman year, they had two freak show DNs
yes.
who both played in the league.
Yes.
And it was just, like, funny hearing the stories of, like, Austin Kuhnert talking about these guys. And they're like, I don't know what I'm doing on the field with these guys.
Yeah, Derek Rivers and Avery Moss.
Freak shows.
Yeah.
Like, actual freak shows. I don't know what they did in the league or if they're still playing. But
I think Rivers got hurt. I don't think the league liked Moss as much as folks thought they might.
Sure.
But Belichick drafted Rivers.
I mean,
they loved him, and I just don't think it ever – he just got hurt.
Yeah, that's too bad because they're pretty special players. That's – I mean, I don't really have any other
– Sure.
Outright Youngstown memories, I guess. But like I said, a lot of my memories were forgotten in the last 4 years.
That's fair. I'm gonna give you something that the kids would say right now. I'm getting hella Indiana State vibes from this game.
Yeah. I mean, that hurt to listen to, but yeah.
I'll explain why.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yes, exactly. Jaleel McLaughlin, the tailback, and you just look at – I'm not even talking about watching tape. I'm not talking about advanced numbers. I'm talking about generic box score numbers.
Yeah.
These guys are averaging 127 passing yards per game. The quarterback, we'll talk about in a second, averages 80 yards per game on the ground, and the program goes – as far as the tailback, Jaleel McLaughlin takes them. Zach, how do one-dimensional offenses normally fare against the Bison?
Not great.
And that's what I think they could potentially be running into here. This team literally goes as far as the run takes them.
And here's my thing, like, one-dimensional, and you're still not going to succeed when your one-dimension is passing. But if your one-dimension is the run game, and you have no pass game to worry about, it's going to be a long day for you.
It is. And, I mean, it's not, you know, we've mentioned, look, Mike Fairbairn, Aaron Steidel, Brian Schatz, they're not walking through that door.
Right.
Nate Tangway. But you have seen these teams that don't threaten to pass still fail.
Yeah.
The NDSU's been able to figure it out one way or the other. Even, you know, we talked about ad nauseum on Monday. All they got is three tech bodies. All they got is little linebackers. They're a spread defense now, blah, blah, blah. It hasn't mattered if you can't throw.
Right.
You know, exactly. And that's what I think you could potentially be getting into.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, because they've played bad teams too.
Yeah.
And 127 yards per game is just abysmal.
Throwing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
It is. They're getting their quarterback back, which doesn't actually help their pass game. He's a runner.
And fairly prolific too.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm not trashing the kid. He's 80 yards per. I don't think NDSU has a tailback who's averaging 80 yards per game.
No,
in fact, I guarantee you NDSU doesn't have a tailback that's averaging 80.
No, 80 yards a game as a quarterback is pretty special. But it ties back to what we've been talking about. It doesn't matter if he can't throw it.
Right.
I mean, if you're relying on the QB run to beat NDSU, it's going to be a long day for you.
Right, especially if they know it's coming.
Right.
I mean, quarterback run has been a problem in the past, but scramble run or unscouted QB run like the Taron Christian thing.
That's what I mean, just in the fact
unknown
if...
Unknown caller.
Right. Whoops.
If you're going to be running between the tackles or, like, designed QB run, and you know it's coming, what are you going to do?
Right. Anyway.
Big code green gay.
Demetri Crenshaw, 80 yards a game, impressive kid, impressive athlete. Mm-hmm. They're going to have their hands full, but they're going to have their hands full kind of like in the like when Bryce Jefferson and James Robinson came for that playoff game.
Right.
And offense. And
I would say less so.
Sure.
And I think James Robinson and Bryce Jefferson were pretty prolific players, but like I'm not too worried about. I mean, he's – good tailback, but I'm not too worried as much as I would be as J-Rob's walking through the door.
Sure. Weather, high of 42, no precip. What was that like, man? Because, like, everybody thinks North Dakota State. You see all the pictures of, like, bison, actual bison all in white, and, you know, like, it's cool. But you guys play when it's 72 degrees, baby.
Right.
You guys play in a dome, so... Yeah. You know, what do you remember from, you know, cause that used to be, man, teams would come to Dakota Field in November and just freeze to death or in the playoffs and extra freeze to death. Now it's sunny in 73, baby. And so, what were these road cold weather games like late in the season?
Hey, I'm telling you because I did it.
Yeah.
We're practicing outside.
Sure.
There's no 72 and sunny during the week because you have to get ready for this because Who knows if you fly to Youngstown, Ohio, and it's 28 and sleet, like it was against Illinois State a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where it's just fully downpouring and raining at the same time. You got snow, you got ice. You know, it's obviously you have to get the work in, so it was a lot of walkthroughs inside. Mentally, yeah. keep the brain sharp and then go thud some pads outside.
Yeah.
But called it grit week. Shout out to some of those guys that know what I'm talking about. The Rooks don't wear sleeves. You go out and you're practicing for an hour and a half in 30 degrees and snow like it is outside when we're recording right now.
Sure.
It's not fun, but it's the only way to prepare for it.
All right.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
That was actually an accident, but we're going to leave it in because that drop rules.
I was looking at the show sheet. I'm like, who are we talking about?
Who's a dog? I gotta talk to you about Youngstown State right now and their defense. And I'm just going to run this down strictly on the schedule. We're not going advanced. We're going basic numbers here. In a win, 41 points allowed to Incarnate Word at home. In a loss, 42 points allowed to Michigan State. In a loss, 38 points allowed to Western Illinois. In a loss, 34 points allowed to UNI. In a win, 33 points allowed to Missouri State. In a loss, 28 points allowed to Indiana State. In a loss, 47 points allowed to South Dakota State at home. And in a loss, 24 points allowed to the University of North Dakota. Might be burger time on Saturday.
The boys might be running it up because this defense is like Swiss cheese.
And here's what I want to ask you, because I think I asked Nash this or I asked somebody this, and it's you do the thing against Indiana State, right? And I asked you the question, and I'm not, you know, trying to get into it with you because you already want to fight me. But I asked you, did they solve something against Indiana State, or did they just play Indiana State? Like, sure. Are they going to be able to translate this to South Dakota State? And that is, like, what can you learn from beating the crap out of a defense that stinks and actually apply it to playing the good teams?
I mean, okay, so, like, when you are playing horrible teams like that, it's like playing scout team. You just get live bullets. That's the only difference is your running back's getting tackled. So it's a good way to learn and sharpen this stuff up. It's just, I think if we would have played a good team other than SDSU, I think we would have seen that translate a little bit. If it was Southern Illinois after Indiana State or Missouri State, I think we would have seen a little bit of carryover as far as that next step in the trenches on both sides of the ball. But I think just an outside perspective, I feel like every time we play SDSU, like everybody just gets so hyped up like it's a different kind of game. It's not, and I think it obviously ties into the rivalry, and they talk shit, and we want to beat them all the time, but I just think guys kind of got lost in the emotion last week and let that get to them to lead to poor performances, but now's a good time to go in, and because if you go in when you're playing hot and you have the confidence going into these last couple of weeks into the playoffs, confidence will take you a lot farther than anything else in football. You can figure that stuff out, start peaking towards the end of the season. I think this could be a good little tune-up. I mean, their defense is not good.
Sure.
That goes back to 19 when we played them, and like the third play of the game was a 90-yard go ball to Christian. It's like, okay, it's one of these games.
Just so you know, guys to watch on that defense, I guess, Jordan White, the safety, is an okay player, and Keon Martin, through Indiana State, was only allowing 47% of the passes thrown his way to be completed, but they're soft up front. And if you're soft up front against the Bison, you're hosed. So yeah. What are you going to do? And I guess it's kind of a similar question, but I just ask you offensively and defensively this late in the season against a team that isn't really going to threaten you. What can you learn?
I think it's more than anything, I would say it's more building that confidence in each other. The communication part, you know, you're playing on the road one, which is a part of that as far as, you know, I don't think it's going to be a situation where there'll be in a silent count or anything, but, you know, communication has to be good. Double teams have to be sharp. Where assignments are, all has to be sharp. And that's like kind of what I told you in the recap of SDSU is what I was disappointed with at SDSU. I felt like it was a step back in that aspect because it looked great against Indiana State. So now we go into Indiana, or we go into Youngstown State, you know, hopefully sharpened up, obviously, during the week. I can't imagine it was a fun week of practice. It never is after a loss. So guys are just going to get right. You know, I don't really know as far as what really can be learned. The playbook's in, obviously, like all this stuff. Yep. It's just all sharpening the little stuff that gets you to play down in Dallas in the first week of January.
Fair enough. Any threat? I mean, any threat?
I wouldn't say so.
There's always the Indiana State threat, but like the Indiana State 2012 threat. But
right. I mean.
Plus, they're pissed.
Right. Yeah, that's a thing. Like, hell hath no fury like a scorned bison.
Yeah.
I think the only thing about Youngstown is they kind of carry this reputation, kind of like Missouri State for a long time, where they'll play hard as long as you let them.
Yeah.
And then when you really put the foot on the gas, then it's over.
Yeah.
So I think they just need to take care of business right away, which we talked about. I mean, just don't make any thought about this. Just take care of business. No worries. Do your job. Let the Young Bucks get some burn, and let's get back home healthy.
Yeah, and that's what I got four. I'm going to just get right into it here. I got 44-7 Bison. I don't see a shutout, but I see a butt kicking. It's going to be cold. It's going to suck. Their season is super over. I don't know why Youngstown stays in this game mentally.
Yeah.
NDSU knows. I mean, they've basically said, like, you get to celebrate a Valley championship, a shared Valley championship after this game if you win it. These boys, they're pissed. They're going to be just locked in. I got 44-7.
Yeah, I was going to go 42-10. That's kind of the number I was thinking. It's one of those things where I think we're going to see a lot of explosive plays. Sure. But here's the thing. I want to see the sharpening of the knife of, like, hey, these guys are getting ready now. It's getting serious. Because, honestly, I don't think the play of the offense has been up to anybody's standards throughout this year when we've played good opponents. So, you know, Youngstown has a couple hellish weeks coming up, too, with us and then playing Southern Illinois to close out the season. Like you said, that's a defeated team that's going to be stepping on the field on Saturday.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Zach, so much for taking the time to come in here with us today. Thank you to Big Deck Barbecue for being the title sponsor of the podcast. Thanks you fine folks for listening. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please leave us a 5-star review. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get it, leave us that 5-star review. Subscribe. Find 10 Bison fan friends and tell them about the show. Tell them to subscribe. We really appreciate you guys. Have a phenomenal weekend. Stay safe and go Bison.